The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our author event series, recorded live at the Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, the Central Library Expansion Project, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Hello and good evening, ladies, gentlemen, telepaths, shifters, vampires, and all you supernaturals out there. Or as Suki would say, all you soups, welcome to the Philadelphia Library. My name is Sharon Glogowski, and I will be introducing our speaker tonight. And I have to say that I think that I'm qualified to do this because, speaking of bloodsuckers, I'm an attorney, so I think I know. Charlene Harris has been a published author for over 25 years, and her first Suki Stackhouse novel introduced us to an array of wonderful and colorful characters, such as Suki Stackhouse, the telepathic barmaid from Louisiana, and of course, the chivalrous and charming Civil War hero turned a vampire, Bill Compton, and of course, the Northman, Eric Northman. And each of Charlene's subsequent novels has left us all thirsty for more. We are lucky enough to have Charlene here speak tonight about her newest novel, Dead in the Family. So please, if everyone would turn off all of their cell phones, and if everyone would please keep their fangs to themselves, please help me welcome Charlene Harris.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. And be sure and thank your library for having me. My mom's a librarian, and I love the library. I often wished I had been talented enough to be a librarian. Instead, I had to settle for being a writer. About a million years ago, I started my career as a writer. When I married my second husband, he told me to stay home and write full-time if that was what I really wanted to do, which was, an amazing gesture and why I'm still married to him 32 years later. And then after 6 months, he said, I don't see you writing. So he had kind of laid down the gauntlet. And I had to write the book, so I did, and amazingly, it got published. I know I'm very lucky, but please hold the tomatoes. This is your public library. I had a wonderful, wonderful early career. I had 2 books published and thought I had conquered the world, and then I stopped to have babies, and when I got back into writing, everything had changed. Nobody wanted to hear from me. And I finally got picked up by Walker, which was they published mysteries. They had a mystery line. And the editor there, Janet Hutchins, who is now the editor of Valerie Quinn Mystery Magazine, I'm sure some of you have read that, acquired me. So I published the first book in the Aurora Tea Garden series with them. And it didn't do that well. And then Janet left, starting a trend which has lasted throughout my entire career. I don't leave, but my editors do. And then I got Michael Seidman, who was one of the most revered editors in the mystery world, and we just hated each other. Terrible how that worked. Luckily for me, the Aurora Tea Garden series moved houses. It trickled on for a few years. I started another series when I realized that male mystery writers thought that female conventional mystery writers were silly. So I wrote the Lily Bard books, which some of you have really taken to your heart. Amazingly, they did not make my name and career. So I kind of reached a point when I was about to turn 50 where I was thinking, what can I do? Where shall I go? What shall I do? And it came to me that it might be a fun idea to break the mystery rules and write a book about a young woman who was dating a vampire. I sat down and thought about that really seriously because I couldn't imagine what kind of woman would do such a crazy thing. And I thought, well, she would have to have something really wrong with her. And I considered some really politically incorrect choices of things that might be wrong with her. You know, but in the end, I settled on the worst thing I could do to anybody. I made her a telepath. Honestly, that started my career of doing terrible things to Sookie Stackhouse. Jim Butcher and I really have a contest going as to who can do the worst thing to his protagonist. I don't know if you've read Jim's latest book, but I think he's upped me. And I'm going to have to escalate. Yeah, poor Sookie. And then I wrote the Harper Connelly books. And after four books, I'm probably finished with Harper. But let me tell you, Harper is going to have a new life as a comic book. With Les Dable, the Dable brothers do Laurel K. Hamilton's comic books and several other wonderful ones. And they're going to be doing Harper Connelly. So I'm very, very excited about that. It's going to be a completely different genre for me. And I really look forward to seeing what they're going to do with it. As most of you, you probably know more about me than you ever wanted to, but you know that already that I'm married and that I have three children and three dogs. But the goose is gone. I'm going to tell you that. So, you know, don't waste any emotion worrying about the goose, because since they poop every 7 minutes, I was ready for the goose to fly to a new home. The people at the new pond where he settled called me and said, I think this is your goose because it comes up to the back door and taps on it. It's obviously used to being petted. I said, you know, that's okay. You know, if goose is happy with you, we'll just bear the loss as best we can. So that's where goose is. As you know, if you want the True Blood news, I guess, they're shooting the third season now. They've signed for season four already. And I'll be having lunch with the writers next week when I go out there. So I'll be appearing at Comic-Con this summer with the cast and crew again. Which, you know, that's really terrifying. I don't know if you know, Comic-Con is 100,000 people under one roof. They have auditoriums that seat 5,000 people. Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking. It's like a computer-generated special effect to see that many people in an auditorium. I keep thinking probably the last 2,000 people aren't real. Anyway, I'm here tonight to answer your questions, and I have, here we go. They're going to turn it on for me up there.
They are?
Yes. Okay, super. Now, the ladies have asked me, if you would raise your hand, they'll bring you a microphone, because this is being recorded and we all want to be able to hear your dulcet tones. Okay, and I see a hand up already. The early bird gets the good questions.
When will Sookie come to Philly?
When will Sookie come to Philly? I haven't ever thought about Sookie coming to Philadelphia. Amazingly, I just did Europe. I did four countries in Europe, and the people there wanted Sookie to come to Europe, which is, you know, equally difficult for me to imagine. But I would like to try to fit a trip for Sookie into Philadelphia. I'm sure she would love this beautiful city. Now that was tactful, huh? This lady.
Hi, I just want to know how you do your process of research. Like, because of the fact that there are, well, I don't know if there are vampires, but because how do you make it so real, especially when you got into the witches and the other supernaturals? Mm-hmm. I just want to know, how do you go into that process?
Okay.
when there isn't, like, something real to contrast it to? Well, maybe not. Maybe.
I call Supernatural Central. And now, really, the stuff about the Wiccans I research very carefully, because there is a big community of Wiccans in the United States. I don't know if you knew this, but their holidays are recognized by the armed services, so service people who are Wiccans get those days off. And I also talk to lots of members of the witch community, which is quite different from being a Wiccan, and that's a distinction they like to preserve. The true witches do, as opposed to the Wiccans. So that was really quite interesting, and I learned a lot about some people that I knew that I didn't realize practiced that religion. Other pieces of research throw themselves in my way while I'm working. I'm what's come to be called a pantser. I fly by the seat of my pants. So I don't really plan that much. I just start writing, and you know, the book just flows on good days. And then I find out what I need to research as I go along, like the safety glass in the hotel. You know, I had to research that. I've had to talk to all kinds of strange people along the way. I've got to go research bar protocol when I get back and talk to a male stripper, so my job has its perks. Most of the people I talk to aren't quite that exotic, but it's been wonderful to learn so many odd bits of knowledge. My son taught me how to fire a shotgun, and, you know, that was a really amusing day for him anyway. So I've acquired some odd little bits of knowledge, but not enough to be dangerous to anybody. Yes, ma'am?
I know that you explained how you thought of a woman who would date a vampire, but how did you meet Sookie specifically? How did you envision her?
Well, I wanted to write about a down-home sort of girl, a good old girl, but one who was smart enough to be interesting, because I don't write stupid. And I don't write weak. Boy, I'll have to remember that. That was an unexpectedly popular answer. I wanted someone who was well-read but not well-educated, someone strong, someone with strong family ties, someone who had had a very difficult upbringing, because that makes you tough if it doesn't defeat you. And she had to be tough, because she's really faced some crises. So her character just kind of evolved. When I thought of the telepathy, I thought of all the unwelcome things she knew that she never wanted to know, and how difficult it would be for her to focus as she went around her daily life, knowing what other people were thinking. When you think about all the uncharitable thoughts we think every day, and gee, I heard a cell phone. When you think about all the uncharitable thoughts we all think every day, even the little bitty ones, I think if you knew what everyone around you was thinking, it would be almost intolerable. So that was pretty much how Sookie evolved. And I see another hand up back here. I'll get to you.
Continuing that story and your statement that you write by the seat of your pants, did you know from the very beginning that Sookie was going to be part supernatural?
Actually, I knew there was something really different about Sookie, but I felt like it would reveal itself, and that was the way it revealed itself. I was kind of saving that at the back of my mind until I figured it out. There are a lot of things I didn't figure out. I prepared the way for until later. I kind of plant some little nuggets in there that sooner or later I dig up and turn over and realize what they are. Is that a coherent answer? You know, so I'm not very good at explaining what I do. People ask me all the time if I've read many books about how to write a book, and I said no because I was scared I would find out I'd been doing it wrong. And you have your hand up. Is there a... There we go. Thank you.
Okay, this is a little bit with the TV show. Reading interviews with Alan Ball, he said that you gave him complete creative freedom on his interpretation of the books.
Yes.
How much input do you actually have in collaboration with Alan in making the TV series? And is there any certain things that have come up that you've already written that you absolutely cannot wait for him to put on screen and see how he's going to interpret them?
I always look forward to seeing what Alan is going to do because I think Alan's a genius. And we have a very fond relationship. That having been said, when I picked him to do the series, he has complete control over that because I am no TV producer. And he is with a long track record of success. In return, he doesn't call me and offer his advice on the books. So that has really worked out well. The only person who's ever asked me for advice was Michelle Forbes, who played Mary Ann, who sat down with me and said, "I'm going to be the Menad next season. What should I wear?" And I said, I had no idea how expanded the role of the Menad was going to be. And I said, in my book, she doesn't wear anything. Of course, we were talking at cross purposes. She eventually read all the books, but of course, in the books, the Menad lives out in the woods. She might wear an animal skin, but that would be about it. Of course, Michelle had gorgeous clothes. Gorgeous clothes, so we were a little bit at cross purposes there. But she was a charming woman, and I appreciate the fact that somebody asked me something. You know, that was kind of nice. I lay awake that night thinking of all the things I could have told her. Next question.
I'm going to draw a blank. No.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I'm a little starstruck. I think my question was going to be something about, have you found that things that they've done with the show, continuing on that question, are there things that they've done, for instance, Lafayette, keeping him around, yeah, and the importance that Tara and Jason have played, are there things that now you think that maybe you'd like to pull into the stories? Like, obviously, you can't pull Lafayette
I can't resurrect Lafayette.
But I mean, will Jason maybe and Tara take on different roles? Or are you okay with them staying in a separate universe?
They stay in a separate universe because I'm so far ahead of Alan. It would be very strange if I tried to incorporate what he's done as well as just weird, because I'm writing the books one way and he's already made significant changes, for example, making Godric Eric's creator instead of Appius Louis Ocella as he is in the book. So, hey, I put the pronunciation in the book. I had to practice that over and over. I had to talk to a Latin scholar about that, so she gave me all the... And that was another piece of research I had to do. And you did ask me what I was looking forward to in the show. If it lasts long enough for him to introduce the Fae, I'm really, really looking forward to that. Okay, did I answer your question? All right. Okay, let's pick someone from the lady with the flower in her hair there.
Okay, I'm a little nervous too. I read that you were from Arkansas, but you write Louisiana real good.
Thank
you. Did you spend a lot of time there, or not?
I'm actually from Mississippi, but I do live in Arkansas. You know, they have a balancing act every year about who comes out on the bottom of every statistic.
Yes.
So it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. They juggle that along with Louisiana. Louisiana has the worst roads and the most corruption. I think small towns in the South are pretty much alike, whatever state they're in. So I feel very comfortable having lived in small southern towns for 90% of my life. I feel pretty comfortable with writing it set in Louisiana. Yes.
Mrs. Harris, I just wanted to ask if there was a tentative schedule for the rest of the books. Did I read correctly that there are three more, or is that not
okay? Okay, I've been signed up through book 13. So. Well, good. It would have been ominous if nobody had clapped. Maybe not 13. No, 13. So that means that gets us up through 2014 with Asuki coming out every May. And then I'll consider when I'm writing this book and the next book as to whether I'm going to wind up the series with 13 or continue it. You know, actually, I was looking at the calendar and figuring out how old I would be. I thought, you know, I don't know if I'll even be able to write young, man. I'll try. This lady.
Thank you. In regards to more publishing, I really enjoyed the short stories. It was kind of like a nice, keep me going until the next one came out.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Do you have more of a plan for more short stories?
It's amazingly wonderful that you asked that. I do. You know, Tony Kellner and I have been doing an anthology a year. And I've been putting a Sookie story in each one, and this year is no exception. In August, Death's Excellent Vacation will be out and has an original Sookie short story. It's a Sookie and Pam road trip.
Yes.
Because a lot of people said they would like to see more of Pam, and believe me, you will. Lady way back there.
Back to the show. I was wondering, well, it has to do with the book, too. If you didn't have a hand in the cast, are they how you imagine them?
The cast is as close to the people I wrote about as human beings could be. I mean, I've had these people living in my head for a long time, and no one could exactly match them. But I think Alan is a real genius at casting, and I have really enjoyed the people he picked. Let me just interject here. I don't know if you all have seen the picture of me and Alexander. I'm supposed to have my hand around his waist, but he's so tall. It was on the web after the premiere, and I looked at it, and I thought, you know, I look like a happy old Pomeranian with a Great Dane. He is one tall guy. Yes. Lady with the black t-shirt. Yeah.
I know that you answered the question about how you came up with Sookie, but how did you come up with the rest of the characters?
I wrote them as I needed them. Bill's character was easy to write because he had to be secretive. He was the first vampire she met. So he had to be like a really good vampire. I mean, he had to be white. He had to be broody. He had to be mysterious. And he had to be gallant and polite also. So Bill's character kind of unfolded easily. But then when I started expanding on the vampire community, I realized I had to have a foil for him, which was how Eric came into play, who originally did not play that large a part in the books. Sookie's brother was easy. Everybody knows a Jason. You know, the former football star who's stupid as dirt. So Jason was actually pretty easy. Grandma was easy. She was just an ideal grandma. Yeah, I know. I was so bad to kill her. So sorry about that. But you invent characters because you need them to move the narrative forward. And all of my characters were in there for a purpose. Some of them didn't get used for that purpose until later on in the series. But everybody in my book works sooner or later. And there's somebody way back there in the middle. Wave your hand. There you go. These ladies who are doing this are volunteers, so be sure and thank them.
I just wanted to know if you had any difference of opinion because of the way that the books and the TV show have gone. If there's any way that you wish it had gone in the books versus the TV, or you're happy with it going two ways?
I'm really happy with it in general. That having been said, there are times when I don't see where Alan is going, but eventually I do. I think probably much like people reading my books go, why'd she do that? But eventually you'll find out. And that's the way I feel. I would be a fool to be ungrateful to Alan after all he's done, and I think he has a true vision for the books, and I'm always astonished at what he does.
I think it's separate but equal.
Yeah, but equal, definitely. I didn't want a carbon copy of the book.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would have bored him. So, I think it's great. Lady on the aisle.
Go back to the show again, but
I don't think you really hate it.
I just was curious. I know you mentioned that season 4 was pre-approved, and I wonder if you had any insight into whether they were keeping the Eric shower scene in.
Okay. I have a feeling that if it isn't the shower scene, it'll be something else equally hot. Because Alexander has no problem whatsoever with nudity. Oh my gosh, so many hands up. This lady here in the blue and green.
All right, it's obvious we all love the show, and I've been loving the book since well before the show was even announced. And whenever I see the show, I love the show for the show, and I love it for it being based off your books, and I want to see you in the show. Are you going to ever do a cameo?
I did. I have been in the show. I was in the last episode of season 2 sitting on a bar stool talking to Sam. And my middle son, are you not covered with shame? They gave me a line, so I can join the Screen Actors Guild now. So maybe I'll have a whole new career. Now, they wrote, when I got to the set, they had written down a line for me. Alexander Wu wrote that episode, and he is just one fine writer. And he said, here's your line. Do you think you can do this? And I'm looking at it, I said, I think I can do it. because I don't have any problem with public speaking, so I really didn't worry about doing one line. And really, I got it in 3 takes, so... And most of that because they were trying to figure out how to do the background stuff. It is so complicated. I had no idea until I sat back and watched them work how extremely complicated shooting 8 seconds of film can be. And there are so many people there. It's so uncomfortable. You have to turn the air conditioner off or the heater off. And you know, it is not, you know, not a super working condition, yet everybody is cheerful and professional. So I really admired the heck out of them, and I learned a lot that day. Yes. Yes. When you point to yourself, that.
Okay, well, my question is, well, I hope you are. Like, are you a fan of your own books? Do you sit back and read your own books from a fan's perspective? And if you are, I have the question everyone wants to know the answer to. Are you Team Bill or Team Eric?
You know, I can't answer that because that's like saying, which of your sons do you prefer? Patrick or Timothy, and they're both single, by the way. And I want grandchildren. I just, you know, I created them both, and I love them both in separate ways. So, you know, that I really can't answer that. Sorry. Sort of sorry. Yes, this lady in the orange here.
I have two questions. Okay. One is, do you see Suki having a baby in her future?
Whose baby?
Well, I leave that up to you.
Do I see her having Calvin's baby? Not so much, no.
Sam's?
She mine?
And the other one, are you going to introduce any new soups? Souks?
Oh, yes. Yes. Not necessarily suitors for Suki's hand, but there will be other soups in the book. As far as Suki having a baby, you know, maybe sooner or later she will. You know? And maybe she won't. This lady here on the aisle in the white t-shirt? Camisole? Garment.
I read somewhere that you said you knew how the series was going to end.
And I did.
I have a question. Is Suki ever going to become a vampire?
No, I've answered that publicly many times. Suki will never become a vampire. I just find that a very distressing idea after all she's been through. Oh, and there's a lady way, way, way in back. It was the wife in the book that did it.
Thank you. And
sure.
I was just wondering if you could be one of the characters that you have written thus far,
oh my God,
which one would you be?
You know, I don't know if I could take the punishment. I would say Suki, but, you know, she ends up in the hospital so often. I don't know. I guess I'd be Pam because I get... She gets to deal out death and destruction. And she generally has a good time doing it. So, you know, I think that would be kind of fun. Yes, the blonde lady over by the wall.
I was curious if any of the places or people in any of the books were modeled after places or people in your own life.
Oh, yeah, but I won't tell.
How about Merlot?
No, I mean, I take bits and pieces. Writers are always observing. And, in fact, writers are well known for eavesdropping. One of the less pleasant things about being a writer is people listening. You try to listen into other people's conversations. I'm sure I take bits and pieces of people. And bits and pieces of places I've known, but I try to make a whole new creation out of those bits and pieces. That's the fun of it. It's like, oh, yeah, the gentleman way at the back. See, being tall does have its good part.
So I had a where question. From my readings, I found out that it's the coupling. I'm only like halfway through the series. It's a coupling between two pure blood wares that make a full ware, right?
Yes.
So what if there was two male twins and they both mated with one female? What about the first coupling? But then the second one, would that
okay,
not?
Okay, are you talking simultaneous or consecutive?
Consecutive. So brother A and female have a child, and that'll be a full-blood ware. But then brother B has the same genetics when he mated with female.
My brain's going to explode.
I don't know if it was the genetics or the magic that made him pure wares.
Yeah, I would have to spend some time with a chart before I could answer that. Yeah. You're right. That was a weird question.
Yeah. And
but thank you for thinking so seriously about
and
it.
And did you ever address the pregnant wares when they shift? How's that happen?
You know, I really do have to think about that real seriously. But my thinking now is that the baby shifts right along with them. If it's the first one, I don't know what happens after that, see? You know, sometimes I just have to run up on a situation before I think it through. And that is one of those situations. But I give you credit for some imaginative wondering. The lady over by the wall, please.
So you mentioned you were real bad to kill Grandma. And speaking of pregnant women, you weren't too nice to them either. So
I don't know what was wrong with me there. You know, I just wanted to kind of clear the slates of everybody extraneous. And I kind of did go overboard, and I do apologize for that. I myself have been pregnant many times, and I certainly never wanted to do myself in. So I am sorry. I'm sorry about Claudine, but it's done now.
Yeah. So my question
is, sorry about Crystal.
So my question is, who do you feel the worst about killing?
Who do I feel the worst about? Oh, Claudine, without a doubt. Because I probably, in retrospect, I probably, you know, should not have done that. I'm sorry, I did it. The lady waving the book in the middle of the...
Hi, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, you're welcome.
My question was the attitude of the country towards the coming out of the vampire mm-hmm. seems to have a lot of implications for today's society with discrimination against different people.
Yep.
Was that intentional when you wrote that in? Or did
Absolutely.
That just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I'm single, so if your sons are looking...
Would you be willing to relocate to Fort Worth? That's okay. This lady in the blue right here. I think it's blue. Yeah.
I was wondering if your sons and your husbands have, husband, if they've read, if they've read all your books, and do they give you their opinions, or do you even ask?
Okay. And I also have a daughter too, an absolutely wonderful and beautiful daughter. My husband reads my books, especially now that I make more money. My oldest son does not read my books. My middle son has read all my books, and my daughter has never read a piece of fiction that she didn't have to. So, you know, I used to feel kind of bad about it, but I don't anymore. You know, they'll do what they'll do. You know, they're enjoying the reflected coolness of the show. Their friends think they're great. So, probably answer this lady's question.
Thanks. It's kind of a two-part question. I wanted to go back to your writing. You're such a prolific writer. I'm just curious where you find the time and whether you decide you're going to spend 8 hours or 6 hours or are you going to put the time in at the end of the day. So that's my first question. And then the second question is, have you started on your next book?
I have, but since I'm here with you good people, it's not going very fast. I'm not really sure I understand your first question too well.
Wondering where you carve out time in your day to write. Do you, in fact, decide you're going to write 9 to 5 every day, or do you wait for motivation?
Well, a deadline is a pretty powerful motivation. So is the fact that I don't get paid if I don't turn the book in. No, I work regular hours every day when I'm home. But increasingly, that's taken up with the business of being Charlene Harris rather than being Charlene Harris, the writer. So that's a difficulty I have to solve. This lady's question, and then I think we're going to have to move.
Thank you.
I was wondering, it seems like Suki is a little more aggressive and, I don't know, maybe a little more dark, but certainly not. Could it be because she's been so influenced by living amongst the vampires and befriending them? Or could it be her internalizing all of the harrowing experience that have happened to her?
That's a lot of it, and the fact that she is having to decide whether she's going to be the sweet, loving person she's always been or whether she's going to survive. So thank you so very, very much. I'll see you upstairs.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from the Free Library's Author Event Series. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information is available at freelibrary.org.